For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered.
Bringing pro football to the Mid-South for nearly two decades.
It's a miracle!
Yes! Good! Touchdown, Titans!
This is Titans Radio. Now on Titans Radio, your chance to talk about the Titans with the head coach. This is the Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Now, the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith.
So glad to have you with us tonight for the Mike Mularkey Show. During the bye week, but there's plenty to talk about and your chance to ask the coach your questions at 877-848-2671. Anywhere you can hear us tonight, simply dial it. You'll be right with us, and you'll have a chance to talk with Mike Mularkey. Again, that number is 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. That's at Titans Radio. Titans finished their first seven games with a win in Cleveland, 12-9 in overtime. A field goal with, a minute 55 remaining in overtime to win it. Well, that's obviously going to be our Pinnacle moment of the game. Sign up for a Titans checking account with Pinnacle, and you could receive a $200 gift card for Titans gear and an autographed DeMarco Murray football. Details at TitansBanking.com. Pinnacle, play hard, bank easy.
7 yards right hash to get Tennessee to 4-3. Ryan Succop. Snap, set, kick on the way. Good!
Ryan Succop converting his seventh game-winning field goal. The Titans win 12-9, and Tennessee is 4-3. Later in this program, we will visit with Ryan Succop from what was a very special event last night. This is a young man who not only is good at his job as a kicker, but is very involved in this community and helping people and making a difference. One of the most special young men as part of the Titans roster that we can remember for a long, long time. Ryan Succop, again, we'll visit with him later in the program. Your questions for the head coach on the Mike Mularkey Show at 877-848-2671. And again, your Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Titans are off right now. By virtue of the victory, they got the entire week off. Now, if you're injured, you certainly have to be in here for treatment. And there are a lot of guys who will be milling about the building, getting in workouts and extra work and getting ready for the next part of the season. The Titans will go back-to-back home games to begin November, the 5th against Baltimore and the 12th against Cincinnati. And then the Titans will turn around and play Thursday night football in Pittsburgh on November the 16th, 10-day break before a trip to Indianapolis to end November. And then in December, a grand total of five games, December 3rd at Nissan Stadium against Houston, on the road at Arizona and San Francisco, and then concluding at home against the Rams and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So five of the final nine games for the Tennessee Titans at home. Some big ones to play in there. Obviously, three division games standing out in there. Lots of work to do for the Titans. Coach Mike Mularkey joins us now. What is the work like for the coaching staff during this bye week?
Oh, we're doing a little bit of self-scout, doing really a situational study. Everything that has, obviously, big impacts on winning the game. Red zone, third down, short yardage, goal line, two-minute drill. Everything that we work on during the week, we're just kind of studying ourselves, comparing it to 2017. Why are we better? Why are we not as good as last year like we are in the red zone? And finding out some interesting things.
Okay, if you could pick any week during the 17 weeks to have your bye week at the start of the year, where would week 8 fall in terms of your decision-making process, knowing what you know about the National Football League?
I'd say it's about right on right now, really, especially with some of the guys we got dinged up right now. If we had to play Sunday, we'd have some guys that are pretty banged up, and I don't know what their status would be for this week. I think they're much, much better with a game off and getting another week of rest. So it really has come at a good time for us.
At, in a normal year, is week eight almost perfect? I know it's perfect right now with the injuries, but is week eight almost perfect most years?
I'd say so, yeah. I mean, you got to remember that now these guys have been going since the end of July, last week of July. It's a grind. I mean, some of these rookies, their season, they think the season's about over with the number of games they played already. And, you know, it's only half, not even half over. So it's coming a good time for us, I think. You know, we probably haven't been this banged up all year, and it just so happens that we get the bye.
Let's get straight to the phones. Jeff in Bellevue at 877-848-2671. Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show.
Hey.
Hey, Jeff.
Got a question. Brett Kern kind of grew up a little bit under Craig Kendrick. Isn't that correct?
Not quite. He came a little bit after Craig Kendrick, but Craig Kendrick has certainly helped him at different points. They clearly have a relationship.
Well, my question is this. One thing that Craig did that was really fun to watch was on fourth and short, he would pull the ball and pass it, and I've never seen Brett do it. Is it because he can't throw like Craig did, or is it something that you just don't look to do?
Coach, if you want to take any of that?
Well, I don't know how Craig threw, to be honest with you. Sounds like he was pretty good passer. Some of these guys, some of these punters, a lot of them are ex-quarterbacks in college or at least high school. But you know, Brett can throw. You know, we look every week if there's a some kind of fake in our punt. We've had some ideas and we'll continue to do that, but we just haven't had any executed. And a lot of that's based on how they line up and a lot like plays into it.
Jeff, thanks so much for the call. Craig Kendrick, a great overall athlete, by the way. Evan in Nashville, we're glad you're with us for the Mike Mularkey Show. We welcome you to Titans Radio.
Thank you, guys. How are you doing tonight, Coach Mike?
I'm doing great, Evan. Thanks for calling in.
No problem. A couple questions for you. One, do you think you can have a signature hat with your autograph on it? And also, what are you going to be doing to prepare for Baltimore going on bye week and next week? And how much will Corey Davis play against the Ravens and Jonathan Cyprian will play? And do you think y'all might maybe start out throwing the ball instead of running the ball first or vice versa? Or what kind of stuff are you going to put in? And I'll listen from there.
Okay, thanks. We'll try to sort of go through those one by one. Do you have a signature hat? You're a hat guy.
I am, but I don't have a signature hat, and be glad to sign one if he sent one in. But if I see him, I run into him, I'd be glad to sign one. But no, I don't have a signature hat.
You have varying hats. You have different colors.
And I do.
You switch them up.
I do. No specific reason. I am a little superstitious, though. If I wear one and you know, or a sequence in the week, I'm going to wear the same one after a win. So I am a little superstitious with that, but. In regards to Corey Davis and Jonathan Cyprian playing against Baltimore, there's a possibility, more likely Corey Davis. I think he's ahead of Cyprian, but Cyprian is ahead of his schedule with his recovery. So we'll see. We get an extra practice in Monday, a pretty good practice when these guys come back, and that'll be a good measuring gauge to see where they're at.
Are you going to have to come out throwing in order to open up the run game, I think is what he wanted to know.
Well, we've thrown it the first play of the last, you know, we've thrown it a little bit more than we've run it to open up the last two games because, you know, the intent was we weren't getting first downs on those drives. You know, we've the last two games we've opened up with scores. I know they've been field goals, but we have driven the ball down to score the last two games, and I think it's because we have thrown the ball to open up the game.
Mike wants to know via Twitter, at Titans Radio, are there any practice squad players who are on the rise at this time?
Yeah, I'd say we got some guys that if we had to call them up in an emergency, we could have some – we'd have a couple guys that would be ready to play right now. I think the practice squad, the best thing they ever did was raise up the 10 players, give guys more players, more opportunities – gives us more chances to look at, you know, we signed a defensive lineman this morning that we get a chance to look at. And sometimes that's the way you got to just be patient. It's tough to be on that, I know. They work their hearts out and get no opportunity to play, but we do have some guys on that squad that We'll play in the NFL someday.
You mentioned you did make a move today on the practice squad, signing Julius Wormsley, a defensive lineman who's been a couple places in the league, and letting Tyler Ferguson go from the practice squad. With Brandon Whedon as a third quarterback, I guess, unfortunately for Tyler Ferguson, you don't really need four quarterbacks right now.
Not right now. Not with the addition of Brandon Whedon. He's on our active roster. There's no reason to have a practice squad quarterback right now. But Tyler did, I mean, he did really well. He came in here and could operate an offense, which is very difficult to do for a rookie quarterback. And, you know, we've told him to just hang tight, and you never know what happens in this league, but continue to work, and maybe we'll see him again.
Hey, you made it very clear early on you were pleased with his work.
Very much. And that's, you know, that can be a hard position to find when you're going into training camp. Some guys can't call a play, can barely get the offense out of a huddle, let alone take a snap and go through the progression and all the things we ask our quarterbacks to do. He did a really good job for the guys I've been around. He was one of the better ones I've been around.
Julius Wormsley is 6'2", 297 pounds. He entered the NFL as an undrafted college free agent in 2014 with the Houston Texans. He's also been in Seattle and Miami. He played in 5 games for the Dolphins last year and collected 8 tackles. He played his college football at Tulane, a 2-year starter. He played in 44 games as a defensive end and defensive tackle. Overall for the Green Wave, 102 hits, 14.5 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, and 1 fumble recovery during his career. Again, the Tennessee Titans signed defensive lineman Julius Wormsley to their practice squad today and release quarterback Tyler Ferguson of Western Kentucky University from the practice squad. More of your calls for the head coach at 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. The head coach of the Tennessee Titans is here to take your calls tonight and talk about the National Football League. This is the Mike Mularkey Show on Titans Radio at 877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. Your Twitter questions, always welcome, at Titans Radio. Let me ask you a little about the rest of the league. You sort of get a chance to get a breath and look around. Philadelphia's 6-1. Carson Wentz looked fantastic, throwing 4 touchdown passes against Washington in a 34-24 Eagles win. Some people saying maybe the Eagles are the best team in the NFL. Do we really have any idea yet?
I don't know. I think that may be the one division that's, you know, you got a pretty good lead in the division. Other than that, there's pretty neck and neck all the way around. And I got a chance to watch some of that game last night, and it was pretty impressive, some of the plays he made.
You were at the Senior Bowl when Wentz was coming out, and it was pretty apparent just watching him at the Senior Bowl. This was no small school guy who was, you know, coming right up from nowhere. I mean, he can play. He is a good athlete.
No, he is. He is. He was impressive at the Senior Bowl. Obviously, he stood out above everybody else, in my opinion, watching him. And he's got a good core around him that's helping him. It was. You know, bad to see the left tackle going down. Jason Peter, who I had a chance to sign when I was in Buffalo. I signed him out of as a tight end, and we moved him to tackle, and, you know, not knowing he's going to probably be a Hall of Fame tackle one day. But we did. We signed him as a tight end, and he actually blocked a punt for us, recovered it for a touchdown.
Yeah, he played tight end at Arkansas.
Yeah, he played tight end at Arkansas.
At 340 or something crazy like that.
Yeah, he came in around 320, played tight end. We threw a couple slants to him. He was rumbling down, guys hanging all over him. But it just wasn't his best position. So Jim McNally, our line coach, and I decided because he's so athletic for his size, moved him to tackle. And I guess the history will tell you he's done pretty good.
9 Pro Bowls later.
Yeah.
Are you surprised at that?
A little bit, but not, no.
Not shocked.
He's so athletic. He's a powerful man. You know, playing tackle, you got to be a shutdown on ends, and he's really good at that. Really good. And sorry to see him get hurt, and obviously Joe Thomas get hurt. You're talking about two Hall of Fame tackles get hurt.
I want to ask you about Thomas, because you played in this league, and I know you have great respect for the histories and the traditions and the great players even on the other side that compete against you for how they do their job. To see a guy who plays the first 10,363 snaps of their career at a position where they take a hit on 95% of the play, 98%
of the 98.
Okay. I mean,
oh, it was I felt terrible for him. I did. I really felt terrible. I mean, it just, you talk about a streak. That is a streak that is incredible for an interior and offensive lineman to play that long and play that good for that long.
10 Pro Bowls.
Yeah, 10 Pro Bowls. Really sad to see that come to an end.
Can you?
So we're talking plays, not
games. I know. Plays.
Plays.
10,363 plays. I mean, his chin strap didn't even break and him have to come off the field one time.
Yeah, not one time.
I mean, somebody was discussing it on a radio show, and I thought it was pretty interesting, is can you compare it to, like, what Cal Ripken did in terms of consecutive games? And I know that was over a much longer period of time, but nobody was hitting Cal Ripken on 98% of the plays. I mean, it's more remarkable than what people know when you really break down who's hitting him.
Yeah.
It's not little guys hitting him.
And they're violent hits.
Yeah.
And they're typically from the best player on the other side.
On the other team.
Yeah, the best player on the other team. So, it's, you know, there's some interior guys you can hold up to, but he gets the best every play.
Wow. Well, and it certainly,
and hopefully it doesn't end his career. I'm hoping he comes out of this.
And unless he decides he wants to move on with something else, because he is certainly enough of a personality and enough of a talent that
he can do a lot of things.
He can do a lot of things in life. That's exactly right. Ernest in Lewisburg, thanks for waiting, and we appreciate you joining us tonight on Titans Radio. You're speaking with the head coach, Mike Mularkey. Go right ahead.
Afternoon, Coach. Thank you for taking my
Ernest.
Call. Back to the quarterback situation, I was just wondering, who all does the quarterback direct when he calls a play? Does he tell the lineman who to block, the running backs? Give us an example of a play without actually calling a play, I guess.
Now, what he does is he'll we get the personnel in the huddle, who we want in the huddle. We have multiple personnel groupings, different bodies in there, tight end, receivers, backs. And then he'll give the formation or possibly a shift where we're going to shift players.
Is this in the huddle or
at the line?
In the
huddle.
Okay.
This is in the huddle. A shift, a formation where we want them to line up, a possible motion. Do we want a player to motion to one area? Again, we have specifically designed ways to use our motions. Very simple. And then either the run, which is a 30s is a tailback. So anytime DeMarco or Derek hit it, it's a 30s, you know, 36 boss. 40s is the fullback. Teens are the quarterback. And then once we get into the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 100, those are all passes. And so that tells the offensive line basically who to block. And then we'll give a concept of a route, and that will tell all the receivers what to run. So he's given the formation, he's given you the play, which is a run or pass, obviously, and then that protection tells the line, the backs, the tight ends, who to block, who they're hot off of, and possibly who they get a block and a blitz. And then when he gets to the line of scrimmage, he's got some other things he's got to take care of, even in the run game, of getting us out of bad plays, getting into good plays. But that's the huddle call. It's very short, the terminology.
So it's not like what we saw John Gruden do?
Absolutely not that. The spider, whatever, spider.
I think it's spider 2, why banana?
Yeah, it's a little longer than that in the Gruden offense. This one's not as long. We try to get in and out of the huddle as quickly as possible.
Interesting. Thanks for the call, Ernest. Let's go to Jacob in Laverne. Jacob, thank you so much for being with us.
Yes, sir. Hey, Coach.
Hey, Jacob.
So our stagnant offense is hardly ever an execution issue. It's almost always a play-calling issue. You put a leash on our players, and you don't position them to win. When are you going to do right by the fans and stop calling plays that I can predict from my own couch?
Oh, that's a good question. It's pretty good that you can predict plays on your end. No, I think we've been done pretty well, especially against the Colts when we scored 9 out of 10 possessions and stalled up a little bit this past game against the Browns. When it counted, though, came through in the overtime, which was important. All three phases kind of played off each other, no mistakes, and won the game when we had to win it, and that hasn't been the case around here. When I first got here. So I like the way our guys came through at the end and played ugly and still won. That kind of tells you what kind of team we have.
And at certain points, too, I mean, when your quarterback is playing on one leg to a certain extent, and I know that's probably taking it too far, but when he's certainly not playing his full game, you can't do everything you want to do with him. You also don't want him to get hit, but you're better off having him in there than not having him in there.
Correct.
You have to find a way, and that's what you ended up doing in overtime. You found a way to win a ball game. You won two games in 6 days in that situation.
I'm very proud of that. So, that's hard to do. That's very hard to do in this league. So, we've been a little bit restricted and with Marcus, really 3.5 games, if you think about it, since he got hurt just before half in Houston. So it's been a little different game planning with him. But I think we got a very good offensive staff, very, very good at scheming. I think we're one of the toughest offenses. I know that for a fact from other head coaches and coordinators trying to defend our offense. Very difficult to defend because we do so much. And we did not have a good game for a variety of reasons against Cleveland. But I do like that we did score 9 out of 10 times against there's not many teams that will do that in the NFL every Sunday against the Colts on a Monday night game. That was a good sign by our offense.
And, 473 yards of total offense in that game, 168 on the ground and 305 through the air. Your quarterback took one sack in that game, and it was basically him losing a yard. So, you had the versatility in that game. And Greg Williams had a chance to watch that game. He had a chance to say, and he's got a better defense than what the Colts have. Got some young Miles Garrett and Danny Shelton and Jamie Collins and Joe Schobert and Kirksey's a really good player. I mean, they're pretty.
Yeah,
good.
I mean
they're pretty salty,
especially against the run. They're right. Sixth against the rush, three in the NFL against the rush average against them. So we knew it was going to be a grind trying to get the ball, especially with as many guys they had up there to try to stop the run.
But at the same time, too, it's also why you're self-scouting right now.
No doubt. No doubt. This is a good time for it. We're finding out some things about us without giving what we know now on how to improve. And everybody has to, not just the players, coaches, and what we're doing offensively, defensively, and special teams. All three phases are self-scouting.
One way that you can improve is get Corey Davis back.
That will help. That will help. Yeah. For sure. And I think he's, it looks like he's on track. We should have him back fully next Monday.
Christian in Nashville, thanks so much for joining us tonight on the Mike Mularkey Show. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Keith. And Coach Mularkey, congratulations on the win on Sunday. It wasn't the prettiest, but it's a win, and that's what means the most. I got a question for you, and it's kind of doing with the off week here and some of the injuries. We've relied a lot on rookies so far, which is a good thing, using the youth. But what are some things that you've learned from and your experience to kind of keep these guys involved? Everybody talks about that rookie wall that they may hit. What are some things that you are doing now? You're halfway through the season, and you mentioned it, I think, last week, that it's almost their end of the year in college. So is there any way that you, treatment-wise or psychologically keeping them in the flow of the game? I'll hang up and listen, and thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Christian. That's a good question. We addressed it early with the rookies. They're it is tough on them. I mean, there's a body clock that they're used to in the college ranks. I mean, they play the season, then they have a long break, and they play a bowl game. But here, it's you're talking week after week of games, and a lot of them, twice as many as most of them are going to play. And we address it early, and then we have the veterans make sure they hang around these guys and talk to them about the grind and what to do, how to really prepare yourself both mentally and physically for the grind of the season. And recovery is huge in what we do here. And a lot of that is what helps them continue on. And when I say recovery, I'm talking about Mondays and Tuesdays, the yoga, the chiropractors, all the things we provide to help them out to get through. I think those are things that will help the young players.
When did yoga become a big deal in the NFL?
This hasn't been that long. I know it wasn't around. I can tell you none of this, the pre-practice routine that they go through now and post-practice, the stretching, the rollers, the rolling out, the masseuse, the chiropractors, the machines that all before and after practice were not around when I was, and that's probably why I feel like I feel.
what would Chuck Knoll have said about the yoga?
Oh, I don't know if he did. I don't think that would have been part of his plan.
Unless it had helped him win a fifth one.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But no, there's a lot out there, and if guys take advantage of it, they can play a long time, especially with the rules now of not having, you can only have padded practices, 14 of them over the 17-week schedule. So, I mean, there's not a lot of pounding, and if you take care of your body, you can play a long time in this game.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's a great example.
Terrell Suggs is in his 15th year.
Yeah, I'm sure these guys take advantage of all the things that are provided before and after practice.
Amazing.
And we have a bunch of guys that do. We really do. I mean, one of the top ones is probably Wesley Woodyard, and you see how well he's playing this year.
Yeah, he only had 12 tackles in the game the other day. Just 12.
Yeah, he's playing really good for us.
Unbelievable year. 877-848-2671. He actually didn't lead the team. That was actually Avery Williamson, who had 15, but 12 tackles for a 31-year-old linebacker. Pretty doggone good. 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Another segment with the coach coming up on the Mike Mularkey Show. We're so glad you're with us tonight on this edition of the Mike Mularkey Show. My name is Mike Keith. Your chance to call and speak with the coach at 877-848-2671, 877-848-2671, Twitter questions at Titans Radio. In our final segment tonight, we're going to visit with Ryan Succop, one of the heroes from Sunday's win at Cleveland. I had a chance to visit with him last night at a very special event. Ryan Succop and Bo Brinkley and Brett Kern are always together, it seems. And, Coach, it seems like they're always together on Mondays and Tuesdays doing something really good in the community. And when a guy like Ryan Succop does something great like Sunday, and a guy like Brett Kern has the year that he's having, and Bo Brinkley is one of the best snappers in the NFL, when you see those players have success and you know the type of people they are, it's even more special.
It is. I'm very proud of those guys. They On Wednesday mornings, before we get going with the opponent, I always show the Titans in the community. I'd like to show our team what guys do in on their downtime. Not asked to do. They all do it on their own. And those three guys seem to be up on the board all the time doing something for our community and represent this team just like we want them represented. But very proud of them. Came through again. Snap, hold, kick, just like I'd say in practice. It's exactly great snap, great hold, great kick, and great win.
Great win, for sure. They were at Hope Lodge last night,
right.
Involved in a dinner, and it was something really special. Tim Shaw had his golf tournament yesterday.
And I heard they raised over $100,000.
They did, and it was for Team Gleason. And Team Gleason is, of course, Steve Gleason's foundation out of New Orleans. And what they do is really very special because – they provide equipment, different sorts of apparatus needed to make the lives easier of those who are battling ALS. So they are a very specific fundraising branch. And, the turnout yesterday, not a great weather day, not
right.
The best golf day. And yet we were out in Arrington and just couldn't believe the number of people who turned out for that.
Right. Great, great crowd. And then a great night. I had all intentions to go out there. Tim got a game ball after the game. I talked to the team Saturday night. Tim could not make the trip to Cleveland. Wanted to be there with his teammates. Was upset that he couldn't be. But he had a big day Monday, and I understood, and he wanted to save up for that day. And so I said, let's bring him home a game ball. And it was really neat in the locker room afterwards. Those guys, they broke down saying, T-Shaw. And then I know a number of players, our offensive line was out there, a number of coaches. We had a large contingent of Titans that went out to support them last night. And unfortunately, I was a little under the weather. I could not be there to give them that game ball. I wanted to do that more than you can imagine. But it was a great night.
Back to the phones we go for the coach. Let's go to West Tennessee and head to Bolivar, and let's talk to John. John, thanks for phoning in tonight. We're glad you're with us on Titans Radio from Hardeman County.
Man, it's great. I'm so pleased to be able to call you. What a privilege. Hi, Coach.
Hey, John. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, no problem. I just had a question about tackling. It seems, you know, we grew up playing football, and we were taught, you know, tackle them with your face and put it in their chest and put them on their back. And it seems like tackling has evolved. And I just, how are, when we're looking at the players now, what, looking at the game, how should they be tackling? What are y'all telling them to do?
Not far off from what you're saying. I mean, that's one thing. If we've learned something in the last couple of days, at least defensively, we got tackle better. We have given up a lot of yards after first contact. And a lot of it, though, is wrapping up, using your arms, wrapping these guys up. You know, even in Sunday's game, watching a lot of our guys, they're going in there for the hit and thinking the hit's going to – they got to use their arms and wrap up the leg, especially these bigger backs that we have faced. But we've got to – if we've learned one thing, it's we've got to tackle better the second half of the season.
One of the ways tackling is being taught now, it's fascinating to me because watching rugby from other parts of the world, that is a fascinating game. And the rugby tackle where you basically the wrap of it is the thing, getting somebody around the waist, making sure that you get them down, your head goes into the side of their body instead of, as we were all taught, you know, drive it into their chest. It does appear to be a lot safer, and we're seeing that at all levels of football. What have you thought about the things that have moved in that way since you started playing football, I guess, over 40 years ago?
Yeah, well, you know, one thing that's hard is you can't practice anymore.
Right.
I mean, because you're so limited with the pads and you're limited with the roster number. You got to be careful of what you do with your guys. You can't practice it as much, especially as the season gets later in the year. You certainly don't want guys, you know, putting themselves in a position to maybe get injured in practice. So it's just become more of a violent game. Guys are trying to put more hits than tackles on people, and we've got some violent players on our. We do. They like contact, especially our safeties. But we got to do a better job of wrapping the arms around.
Kevin Byard graded out very highly.
I'd say so.
The three interceptions certainly stand out, but he played well otherwise.
Yes, he did. He did very good in run support. You know, the plays that he made, I've said it a number of times. He was where he was supposed to be. It's really simple. Don't do anything more than what your job asks you to do, and then when the play is there to be made, you got to make it. I mean, there's a lot of times our guys are there and we don't make the plays, and he did.
He's only 58 career interceptions behind Coach LeBeau now, but I had a chance to briefly visit with Coach LeBeau, and I know he was especially proud of the catches that he made
right
on all three interceptions. None of those were necessarily just easy catches, especially. And I don't mean to offend the DBs out there, but for a defensive back.
No, he didn't. But it was really like the second one when the Browns ran a bootleg out. He literally set the quarterback up. He gave the impression he had the flat covered, but he invited the throw and then made a great catch on the throw. Let me say this about Coach LeBeau, too. His 61 interceptions were in an era when teams ran the football.
Right.
So, I mean, that's something that's amazing that he did what he did.
Well, he was proud of Kevin Byard, though.
Yeah, I bet, and we all are. He's another one that's just a really good person for this team.
Let's go back to the phones, and Ben in Nashville, thanks for joining us on the Mike Mularkey Show. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. Rule question on the Delanie Walker fumble. When the refs are blowing it dead, pointing at the ground, saying it hit the ground, calling it an incomplete pass, how come they are able to overturn that call to give the opposing team the ball in that instance, saying that they recovered it, instead of calling it an incomplete pass?
They actually called it a complete pass. That was the problem with it. They called it complete, and you really, the only reason they could review it is because the play is extended if the ball does come out. So
yeah, they called him down when he was.
They called him down.
They called him down. They said, in essence,
down by
the ground caused the fumble was the initial call,
right? And that can be challenged. And I tell our guys when the ball, if the whistle blows and the ball comes out, you really don't want this, but you got to tell your guys to get on the football, even though a whistle has blown. That ball still made, just like Delanie's fumble. And now you're going to have a bunch of guys going after even some dead balls, and that's when you start getting some body positions where you have injury. I mean,
right.
Going after a football on the ground, I mean, there's a lot of things that go on with the neck and head. But you got to tell them that the ball is live. Even if the whistle has blown, you got to go for the ball. And that's what they did. And, you know, it was it,
It was a good challenge. I mean, he did fumble the ball. It was a good challenge by them.
Yeah, if his wrist had been down,
then he's down. Then he's down.
But his hand was the only part that hit the ground.
Right.
And the other part that is in the rules and just what you're talking about, and you'll hear this all the time on television when you watch, is if they go back and say it was a fumble, the next question becomes, was there a clear recovery?
Right.
There was a clear recovery.
That's the next thing. It's got to be a clear recovery as part of the rule that took place on that play.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And for the most part, and maybe till towards the end of the game, I thought the officiating was pretty good.
Toward the end. The non-grounding call on the play before the sack.
I'm not picking out any plays.
I said that. Coach Mack and I said that on the radio. It appeared that he was still in the tackle box. I'll say this, though. He was, speaking of Cody Kessler, man, was he under duress in that overtime.
We want sacks as badly as anybody else. I mean, the media has been hard. Why aren't we getting the sacks? But if we can get a guy to keep throwing it out of bounds like they were to avoid sacks, then we'll take that. We have way more pressures than we have less sacks this year, but our pressures are up much more than they were last year.
Don't you think you have a big game coming in that department, though, where it's all just going to fall your way?
Yeah, I mean, we've been very close. We have faced a number of very athletic and mobile quarterbacks compared to a year ago. If you want to keep comparing 17 to 16, we've had many more guys that can escape better than we did a year ago, and so we got to just keep. We can't lose the effort that we've had, and we can't get frustrated by not getting the sacks that we've had. And I think that showed the other day when we got him when it counted in overtime.
By the way, what an effort by Derek Morgan playing 60 plays after being hurt on Monday night.
Right, that's who we are. That's our team. That's the guys that make up this team, and that's a great example. Derek's a great example of it.
You going to get some rest?
I definitely am.
Are the coaching staff going to have a chance to get away?
We are at the end of this week. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in here getting ready for Baltimore.
We'll be back in here, too.
Okay.
Coach Mike Mularkey with us, as always, on Tuesday nights, taking your calls. We look forward to visiting with him next Tuesday. In our next segment, a visit with one of the heroes from Sunday, kicker Ryan Suckup, and his visit to the Hope Lodge. That's up next. The Mike Mularkey Show continues on this Tuesday. Mike Keith joined by one of the heroes of Sunday's win. Kicker Ryan Suckup nailed a 47-yarder with 1:55 remaining in overtime to lift the Titans to a 12-9 victory over the Cleveland Browns. First of all, congratulations on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Good stuff for the Titans on Sunday. And then on Monday, you and your long snapper, Bo Brinkley, and the Titans punter and your holder, Brett Kern, take time out to visit the Hope Lodge, which takes care of cancer patients and caregivers. There are 37 of them across the country, one right here in Nashville making the difference. So just a day after a big football moment, you're out trying to help people with the Hope Lodge. Why does that strike such a chord with you and Bo and Brett?
Well, you know what? We're really blessed to be able to do what we do, and anytime to have an opportunity to kind of give back to the community that supports us so much, you know, we're all for that. We definitely want to do that, and man, we met some amazing people here tonight that are, you know, some of them are in some really tough circumstances, and hopefully we were able to bring them a little bit of joy, and man, they were so uplifting, and they encouraged us too, so it was really a neat night, and I was glad that Bo and Brett and I got to do this together. It was really special.
All right, let's talk about you and Bo and Brett together, because you mentioned every time you make a big kick, Bo Brinkley and Brett Kern, and what a part of this they are for you, and not just as your holder and your snapper, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, it's very important, the chemistry that we have on the field, to work together. And the longer that we can stay together, I think the better and better that we get. And obviously, that chemistry is important, but, you know, just as important as off the field. You know, I think we really stick together as a group. We encourage each other. I mean, we're really, really close, good friends. And so that's such a blessing to work with guys that you really enjoy being around and that you're really close. And hopefully you can encourage and push each other and do better.
They treat you with a tremendous amount of respect. Not really. They give you a hassle every chance they can. And I just wonder, as you're leading up to the big moments before a field goal like that,
Are they still giving you the business just like they do everywhere else?
Yeah, we definitely. You definitely can't be sensitive in our group because it. We love to get on each other a little bit, but when it comes down to business, when it's during a game, especially a big kick like that, I think we kind of kick it into a little bit of a different gear, and fortunately we were able to go out and really perform well.
And you do talk strategy. Much like what you described on Titans Radio after the game in terms of what Brett Kern did with the hold.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that is really, people don't realize how important that is. And I have total trust in Brett. Depending on what the wind's doing, he's going to lean the ball a certain way to counteract what the wind's doing. And, I think that, the three of us together have been able to, really kick well in some tough conditions. We've had some windy games, some cold games, and we've really been able to handle that well to this point, and hopefully we can continue to do that.
Talk about your approach before every kick. It's the same thing every time.
Yeah, I think the more that you get to do it, the more comfortable you get. I certainly feel that way. The longer I've gone in my career, I feel like the better I've been able to get just from an experience standpoint. And, you certainly try to approach all the kicks the same. One of the things for me I always do is I always pray for peace. Just, Lord, help me to go out and have a clear mind and help me to focus and not worry about all this external pressure or whatever people want to call it. And for me, I think my faith has really helped me, and I just feel really blessed to be in the situation I am.
The sense of calm is a big part of it because while you want some things going through your mind, you don't want too much going through your mind.
Yeah, definitely. If I can have one swing thought, that's a good thing. If I'm thinking about two or three things, that's bad. So I'll usually try to focus on one thing. Sometimes it might be the wind. Sometimes it might be the field conditions, whatever it may be. But I'll just try to think about controlling one thing and then just kind of we practiced so much in practice and you just kind of let your body take over. And, you've worked really hard to be in the situation you're in, and you just kind of want to let your body do what it's going to do.
Ryan Succop with us on the Mike Mularkey Show. Do you hear the crowd?
I'll tell you what, it was pretty loud on that last kick yesterday. You definitely hear it. And, that's something too. I think that the more and more you get in those situations, the more you kind of know how your body reacts to that. And, that's something that you have to kind of learn how to do because there's a lot of adrenaline going. It's really easy to try to, want to hit the ball hard or, rush at the ball. And, definitely the crowd noise can kind of influence that. And, it was loud yesterday, that's for sure.
Those of us who are football fans know the famous Super Bowl story of Joe Montana standing in the huddle, and they've got to go 90 yards for a game-winning touchdown against the Bengals. And he looks back and he says, "Hey, isn't that John Candy standing out there?" And his teammates couldn't believe that he was so relaxed that he noticed the late actor was at the Super Bowl. Can you understand that? Are you that relaxed?
I don't know if I would notice that. somebody sitting in the stands, I'm usually trying to focus on, hey, what's the wind doing or what's the situation in the game or just staying loose. So I don't think I would notice that, but that is a pretty interesting story.
Your role on this football team and how you see yourself and as this team has grown over the last 4 years, you've seen the full development. Where do you put yourself in this whole thing?
Well, you know what? I feel really blessed. We work with a lot of great players, a lot of great coaches. And, I just try to come to work every day and just try to get better. That's what I've done for, as long as I can remember, is just try to get a little bit better, really every day in practice, every game, try to get a little bit better. And at the end of the day, just try to do what I can to help our team win. And hopefully we'll be able to do that.
And your teammates have utmost respect for you. You are well treated by the guys who play offense and defense. I would think that's maybe the greatest compliment.
Well, it's certainly mutual. I'm so appreciative. We have a great locker room. We have a lot of great guys in there. And, we're a close group, and that makes it all the more special. When we come out with a big win like we did yesterday, that's kind of one of the best feelings is getting to celebrate that with your teammates and coaches. It's just a special feeling that I don't know you can get anywhere else.
Ryan Succop, were you surprised when Mike Mularkey gave this team the whole week off?
I guess I was a little bit. I was planning on, I guess I went in anyway today, but I was planning on going in and figured we would have in today. But I think, coming off an overtime emotional win like that, I think that was pretty nice of them, and all the guys are obviously very appreciative of that.
So what is the bye week like for you?
In the past, we've traveled a lot, and, we've usually gone back home to North Carolina and, gone and visited family. But I think this year, we have a little two-year-old, my wife's pregnant, and it just kind of made sense to stay here. So we're staying in Nashville, and I might play a little golf this week, maybe try to hunt a little bit if I get a day or two. But just kind of a relaxing day, hang with family, and, kind of unwind a little bit.
Do you kick any at all during the course of this week?
Yeah, I actually am. Brett and I were talking about it tonight. I think we're probably going to go in and kick on Wednesday. You know, I feel like I'm hitting the ball really well, and I don't want to go a whole week without doing that. So I kind of want to keep that rhythm going. So I'll definitely be in there working out and kicking and trying to stay ready.
When you say working out, what is your training like in season to get ready for all of the kicks?
Yeah, great question. So for me, I do a lot of work in the weight room and in the training room. And, you know, for me, I've found that the more work I put in there, the healthier I actually feel. So, you know, the stronger I am in the weight room, usually I feel like the healthier I am on the field. And so, that's been the case. You know, my last several years, I've felt really healthy and feel like hopefully that'll continue. So, definitely put a lot of work in, try to stay strong, try to stay fit, and hopefully it'll translate to good performances.
And this team gets back to work next week and gets ready to take on the Baltimore Ravens. An exciting stretch, 5 of your last 9 at home, an opportunity to control your own destiny and maybe go win the AFC South. And the thought, too, about this ball club is it doesn't feel like you guys have played your best football yet. Done some good things, but there seems to be better things maybe on the other side of the fence.
Yeah, I think, you know, at the end of the through 7 games, you know, you look at it and we're in a great position. You know, like you said, we control our own destiny. Obviously, there's things that we can do better. I think all of us, you know, can do things better. And we're just going to keep our heads down, keep grinding, keep trying to get better. And, you know, hopefully these last 9 games, we'll really be able to make a push and, you know, some exciting things could be in store for sure.
Ryan Succop, 7th career game-winning kick. Congratulations and thanks for joining us on the Mike Mularkey Show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on, Mike. Right. Appreciate it.
The Mike Mularkey Show is produced by Brandon Hagany. Our traffic director is Kendra Holt. Director of Sales, Hunter Rice. Operations Manager, Charlie Cook. General Manager, Allison Warren. And the executive producer of Titans Radio is Rhett Bryant. No game this Sunday. It's a bye week for the Titans. We're back next Tuesday night with the Mike Mularkey Show at 6 Central, 7 Eastern on this Titans radio station. And then a week from Sunday, the Titans and the Ravens from Nissan Stadium. We're on the air November 5th at 11 a.m. Central, noon Eastern time with Rhett Bryan and Titans Countdown. Until next week, Mike Keith says, thanks for listening. Good night, everybody.
The Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered. Get the info you need for this week's game at TitansRadio.com.
This is Titans Radio.